Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. I haven't done that in a minute, but I felt the need.
Yeah, happy Wednesday.
Yeah, happy Wednesday.
There we go.
Last week, I left you saying that I was about to go see Wolverine and Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
that movie was so good. Yeah. It was so funny. Okay. And I loved it. It was so cute.
Okay.
That was my rating.
I've heard good things about it.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
Like, I went with my parents. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad hated it, but he hates, like, everything.
So, everything. Okay.
Like, all movies. Doesn't matter. Like, it has to be, like, the only movie he likes is Forrest Gump, so.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you would. But my mom loved it, and I loved it.
That's good, great. I don't really have an update to give, if we're being honest. But
yeah. That's really the only one I have, because the only thing I've done is work.
I know. Me too.
No fun. Yeah. Boo, no fun. Well, and babysat my nieces.
Oh.
Which...
How fun was that?
It's a really good dose of birth control.
Oh, yeah.
Love you if you're listening so much. I just imagine them. And they're like 3 and 1 right now.
Yeah.
Or 3 and like.
No, but they're listening.
But one day they might be listening. So, sorry. Love y'all. But.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do. I guess I do have sort of an update. I've been trying to pop off on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Savannah's growing her TikTok base.
I'm trying to post more. Because, I always say that I want to be, like, a TikTok star or, like, you know, just, like, have followers. Mm-hmm. And then I don't post anything.
Yeah.
So, I've been actually trying.
Period.
So.
I've liked them all. So, go to Savannah's TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's down below if you need to know what it is. As well as our TikTok.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, go ahead and look at mine and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, and Spotify. Please.
Like, well, you know, while you're at it, you might as well.
Yeah, like,
whatever. Hit the home run.
Uh-huh.
Hit them all.
Exactly.
Well, I know that's a really boring intro. I'm trying to think of literally any single thing.
Yeah, I think we should just dive right into it, because my story today is actually, like, I'm really excited to get into
it. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
George Clooney and Brad Pitt's new movie, Wolves, is on Apple TV Plus September 27th.
That's where I want you to be now.
So if you want to see George Clooney and Brad Pitt, go to Apple TV Plus.
You got
to
start the story there.
Or if you want to see Brad Pitt and George Clooney, go to Apple TV Plus.
I am enjoying the show.
And if you want to see their new movie, Wolves.
You can't do it? I'm going to help you out.
I can do it. So do it.
Definitely go to Apple TV Plus.
Admit it. It's cool.
Okay, fine. It was very cool.
Wolves. Streaming September 27th on Apple TV Plus. Rated R.
This is what you do when you've just found that statement handbag on eBay and you want to build an entire wardrobe around it. You start selling to keep buying. Yep, on eBay. Over that all black everything phase, list it and buy all the color. Feeling more vintage than ever? It's out with the new and in with the pre-loved. Next thing you know, you've refreshed your wardrobe basically without spending a dime. Yeah, eBay. The place to buy and sell new, pre-loved, vintage, and rare fashion.
Cool shoes. My brother would love those.
Ooh, I don't share my sources.
Ah, well, I just found them using Circle to Search with Google on my new Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 6.
What?
And I texted them to my brother on the other side of this massive screen.
Where did you get that phone?
Lucky for you, I don't gatekeep my sources. Tell them.
Get your own Galaxy Z Fold 6 now at Samsung.com. Requires internet connection. Results may vary by uniqueness, clarity, and framing of circled image and related factors.
18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthy living.
So, this week, I'm going to talk to you about the Dancing Plague of
1518. Oh, okay.
Have you heard about it at all?
Yes, actually, yeah. Yes. I do recall hearing of this before.
Okay. Okay. It's also known as choreomania.
Choreomania. Well, like choreo
as in choreograph.
You know what I was thinking of?
What?
Coriolanus.
Oh no. My God, Coriolanus. Choreomania. The dancing plague. So this was a case of dancing mania that occurred in Strasbourg, which is modern day France. This is when the area was part of the Holy Roman Empire.
Period.
So before it was France.
Before France, but today France.
Yeah. Yeah. And this started in July of 1518 and ended in September of 1518. So this was like a month, like a few months. That's 2 months. Long. Yeah, and like 50 to 400 people danced for weeks in the street. Like it was crazy. It was crazy.
For weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, months. Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning. It started in July. When Frau Trofia, a housewife, she began to dance fervently and uncontrollably, quote, in the street in Strasbourg.
That's a vibe.
I mean, yeah, kind of.
I don't know what, like, that big word, inferbably, what did you say?
Fervently.
Oh, fervently, yeah. That word makes it less a vibe. But
she's just, like, going at it.
Like, I just, like, I mean, dancing in the street sounds fun.
Yeah.
But sounds like she may be going hard.
Yeah, because she kept dancing for a week straight.
Okay.
She would dance and dance and then fall to the ground from exhaustion.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, sleep for a little bit, kind of not sleep well, but then get right back up and start dancing again. Oh. And she had, like, bruised and bloody feet from dancing so much.
Yeah.
She ended up getting, like, a crowd around her, watching her. They and they were like, why
it was
is
a
she?
Show.
I mean, maybe. But they were like, why is she not stopping? Yeah. And she's kind of like, guys, I can't stop. I don't know what's going on. And after 6 days, she was sent to this mountain shrine of Saint Vitus.
Okay.
So they're like, okay, we're going to give her a spiritual journey. I guess somebody took her. Like, I don't know.
And she's still dancing?
I don't know the full.
I already knew you were about to be like, she's got the devil in her.
No, they didn't even really say that, actually. Oh. No.
Well, interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I would just presume.
Yeah, yeah. So Saint Vitus, I will talk more about him later, but he's like the patron saint of dancing, and he's also like a saint of, like, he was known to, like, heal epilepsy, and people would, like, pray to him for that. So, and also, during this time, people believed that saints could cure you, but also they would give you these illnesses as well. So some people are like, okay, did Saint Vitus give her this dancing plague? Like, who knows? But they sent her there, which, this was, like, 30 miles away. But they sent her to the shrine.
Okay.
I guess people took her because like, she probably didn't just, like, walk there. No. I don't know.
She danced there.
Yeah. I don't know. But she ended up going there. And there isn't much history, like, anything documented about, like, afterwards, what really happened to her in particular. But hopefully she was, like, cured.
Oh. That's weird.
So, yeah. But by the time she got to this shrine, there were like 36 other people dancing in Strasbourg.
Oh, no.
And it eventually got up to 400 people.
It was contagious.
Yes. So even though she had left, like, people were dancing. Nobody could get them to stop. They just kept going. They didn't even want to be dancing. They just kept doing it. They were like in a trance almost.
Ew.
Can you imagine, like, their faces are just like out of it almost.
Yeah.
And they're just dancing.
Oh my God. That's and scary. What about the bathroom situation?
Oh, that I didn't really see any notes about. But I can imagine it's probably not good.
That's great.
Yeah, the people dancing, they would like shout out and like be like, help, help, like they, because they couldn't stop, so and they were like, somebody please help us. And it wasn't like convulsing, it was actual like dancing. So, like, wow. Yeah, people who have written about it,
like what kind the records, of dancing?
I mean,
like salsa, like a little jive, like,
well, I mean, the this, Cupid shuffle. If you can imagine, this was during the Holy Roman Empire, and it's like, okay, sort of like a German area, so German French area in the 1500s. So I don't know for sure, but just, you know, like dancing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And yeah. So they just couldn't stop, which is scary because
this is like the opposite of Footloose. Like the exact opposite.
Yeah. So by August, the dancing plague had actually killed some people.
Oh my God.
Dancers started to collapse, dying from probably like stroke and heart attacks. Like, I don't even know. Like, they were
like heat exhaustion or just exhaustion.
Yeah. Because it was also, it's summer. Yeah. It's so probably it's hot. Mm-hmm. And nobody really knew what was happening. Like, onlookers, they couldn't help. And people thought that maybe it was Saint Vitus, like I was saying.
Yeah.
Giving them a plague for doing bad or something. Yikes. But the doctors in the area, the physicians, what do you think they diagnosed them with?
Oh, mass hysteria. That's what I would assume.
But like back then.
Oh.
Because they didn't really have that.
Oh, yeah, term. You're right. That's like this time period. Why can't my brain is empty.
So they said that they had hot blood.
Okay, I would have never said that. What does that mean? Like their blood was literally boiling, so they had to move?
Yeah, basically. So they had ruled out astrological and supernatural causes.
Okay,
so they're like, okay,
how do they rule that out?
The devil.
How?
It's not. I don't know. They just were talking about it. They're like, guys,
talked to the devil. We called him 666666. He said no. It's not him this time.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, it's not like astrology. Like the moon's not in the right spot for that. Okay. You know? So they're like, okay, they have hot blood. And they said that hot blood, it causes the brain to overheat. And then that would cause madness.
Okay.
So that's why they're like mad and like dancing.
So maybe they're really just saying that they had heat strokes. But like, that's what they're saying back in the day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what caused it.
But I feel like that wouldn't happen if you had heat stroke. Like,
so the thing is, I have had personal experience with heat stroke.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Yeah?
Yes. Okay. And I did actually go a little crazy.
Did you like want to dance though?
Well, I did not want to dance, but I had to run, and I had no problem doing so. Like, I was like, I could keep running.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that had something to do
like,
with it.
Yeah. Maybe, but I don't think that's the final answer.
Yeah.
But it makes
we'll
sense. This is the 1500s. They don't know the answer.
Yeah. So, okay. Also, the cure for hot blood. Can you imagine?
Put them in cold water. I don't know.
No. Bloodletting. So they're like, let's just drain some blood out of you.
No. What?
So, since they were all dancing, they're like, okay, we're not going to get them to sit to give their blood.
Yeah.
So, their remedy, the town's remedy to get them to stop was just more dancing. They're like, okay, let's just get it out of their system.
What?
So, they kind of played into it, and they built a stage and brought out a band to play in the town square.
Oh, my God. They made it a show that actually killed people.
Yeah. So, this didn't help. It kind of made it worse. They ended up playing, the band was playing, like, fast music, and they were dancing faster, just made people even more tired and, like, more likely to die from this. And then also other people who were just like walking by, they started to join in too, because they're like, oh, it's like, looks like fun, there's a band playing.
Yeah.
But in reality, these people are like, we don't want to be dancing here.
No.
We just can't stop. So they're like, okay, guys, like, maybe we need to stop this. So they ended up stopping, like, they got rid of the band and stuff. And they also decided, okay, maybe this is, like, a curse or something. And we need to get rid of gambling and brothels in the area. Because, like, maybe this is just a curse that these things cause. They're that... like, we're going to get rid of the bad things in our town.
My question is, why are they choosing to do things in the town when these people clearly need help? Like, let's take these people to the doctor. Like, I know we've already, like, yeah. Let's put them in, if they're hot blooded, let's put them in an ice bath.
I mean, they don't have ice.
They don't have ice? Oh. Okay, well, they have cold water. We could submerge them in a cold towel. Okay. I'm sure they had like that. Yeah. You put them in the river.
Yeah.
A creek.
So they didn't do any of that. No. But they ended up, so they banned the gambling and the brothels. And then they also decided, okay, guys, like, you aren't stopping. So we're just going to ban dancing. Like, it's illegal. Oh, we're going to fine you. Yeah.
But they can't help it.
Yeah. They're like, guys, like, I see that you're giving us a fine, but we can't stop. So they just kept dancing, even though it was banned. And they also banned music, except for string instruments.
Interesting.
They said string instruments are fine, but no tambourines and definitely no drums.
Of course.
Because those are
evil. Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That is crazy.
So that was sort of their, like, remedy.
I bet that worked.
Didn't work.
By
early September, so getting into like the third month here, the dancers were left, they ended up getting sent to St. Vitus, just like the original person who started it.
Yeah.
So they got sent to the mountain shrine that was 30 miles away, like I had said. And yeah, they were sent there to pray for absolution. And this is what eventually stopped it. You know,
it did work.
Yeah. So they, I'm not really sure how they got them to go. Like I was saying before, like, I don't know if they like were dancing on their way there or what.
Yeah.
But they ended up getting there and, they brought the dancers red shoes that were blessed with holy oil, and the dancing ended eventually because of this.
Okay, that's crazy.
And they were pretty much cured. And I do want to talk about Saint Vitus and why he's like, you know, the saint of like healing people, I guess. So he actually became a saint after being tormented. He was thrown into a cauldron of boiling lead and tar.
Okay, that's really bad.
Yeah. And he was thrown to lions right after that.
What? He survived? Wait, he survived the lead and the tar?
Yeah. Mm. Then he was thrown to lions, but then both of them, he survived with no injuries.
The lions?
Yeah, the lions. They and just the came tar? Up to him and, like, licked his hand. Oh. And well, the tar and stuff like that didn't do anything to him.
Wow.
So then that's why he became a saint, you know? Because he's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, clearly.
Invincible. So his reputation was to heal illnesses, and people would pray to him to get rid of illness or, you know, cure them. But he also gave people illnesses. So that's, you know, takes it back to why they thought gambling and, like, having brothels and stuff was, like, bad. They're like, okay, St. Vitus, like, he's cursing us because we have this evil in our town.
But that did not work, right?
Yeah, getting rid of that didn't really work. But
so they then
going
back
to the shrine worked. So
interesting.
You know.
That's very interesting.
There is a theory from that era that I'll go through. So this happened in 1518. Is that what I said? 1518. And in 1526, so a few years after, Paracelsus, he was a physician, alchemist, astrologer guy. he visited the town to figure out what had happened here. And the first thing he did was he blamed the women in the area.
Of course he did.
He said, yeah, that lady, Frau Trofia, she was rebellious and she started all of this to get out of doing chores.
What? Okay, no. Immediately, no.
Yeah. He said that, like, right before it started, her husband told her to do something that she didn't want to do. So she's like, I'm just going to go dance in the streets.
Okay.
Yeah. So he honestly didn't really have any theory, because that is not true. If I know anything, I'm like,
no. Yeah, that's the one thing I know.
Yeah.
Wrong.
So other theories from that time, like, are also not very, like, convincing to me, but more modern theories, I'm gonna go through them here. One of them is brain swelling from like an illness such as like strep, because strep is known to, it can cause like brain swelling in young children mainly if they get it, but it's unlikely because, you know, a lot of them, the people who are dancing were, like, adults.
Yeah, that's so what I was
gonna say. It's not really, probably wouldn't cause that. And also brain swelling, like, I don't think that would cause mass dancing.
Well, and also, like, would all those people have the brain swelling?
Right.
Like, even if they were sick?
Yeah, because it's, like, it's a contagious disease, sure. Yeah. But it's just, like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. The next one is maybe it could have been, like, food poisoning. So, ergot, it's a mold that grows in rye, and it grows in other grains too, but mainly rye, and rye was used a lot in this area for bread, and probably for beer too. It can cause a few different things. It can cause stomach issues, which is, you know, probably minimal. Out of the other options, I mean, stomach issues, that could be really bad, especially for this time period.
Right.
But the other things that it could cause, gangrene.
Oh, that's really bad.
Which is crazy. Like, how can you get gangrene from eating something? But apparently you can. Fun fact, it's because of, like, it can affect your blood flow and cause your blood to be, like, blood flow to cut off at a certain limb, and then, it could just make it fall off. So, yeah, that's how it causes gangrene.
Yikes.
Interesting. And it can also give, like, psychogenic effects, such as hallucinations and seizures. So, some people point to this because they're like, well, they're, like, moving around, so maybe it's sort of, like, convulsions, but I don't know. It's more described as, like, dancing.
Yeah.
Like, not...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think they would, like, last that long either. Like, weeks at a time.
Exactly. No.
And you're dancing on your feet. Like, seizures, you'd probably maybe fall to the ground.
You like, definitely, like, fall to the ground, I feel like. Unless you're having, like, the tiniest seizure ever. But
right.
Even then, all of those people,
I know.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And the hallucination point could play into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that wouldn't last as long either. But I guess I don't know for sure. But
I mean, I feel like if they were able to say, like, help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can't stop. Like, they could talk. I feel like they'd be like, I'm also tripping. And, like, what's that tree doing over there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, like, why would it make them dance?
Right. Like, just because they see something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I thought it could be ergot poisoning before I did, like, a deeper dive into this. Mm-hmm. But I started looking into it more for this episode, and I also listened to a different podcast called This Podcast Will Kill You.
Period.
And they did an episode on this, and it convinced me that this next theory is probably what happened.
Ooh, exciting.
So you You already said it, though.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
Yeah. Loki. So, sort of, stress-induced. Yeah. So, also, side note, hysteria comes from hyster, which is, means uterus. Like a hysterectomy.
Hysterectomy, yeah. I actually did know that.
And so
meaning, women go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually did know that. Yeah. That infuriates me.
I know. Anyway. I never put that together. But, so, yeah. Well, moving past
the hatred of women forever.
So, there's this thing called conversion disorder that's linked to mass hysteria. It's, unexplained bodily symptoms, and it's neurologic.
Mm.
So, this could definitely have something to do with it. That's an unexplained bodily symptom, dancing, for no reason, and it's neurologic, so it's not really, because of something physical.
Yeah. It does remind me, I was going to say, the dancing reminds me of, a tic that, people with Tourette's have.
Yeah, true.
Because, they can't help themselves, and sometimes they have to do stuff, 100 times before, hit themselves 100 times or whatever the tic may be. That's kind of, it's what it reminds me of.
It is so, crazy that it happened to so many people.
Yeah.
And they all just started joining in, and that plays into this. Yeah. So, mass psychogenic illness. Have you heard of that before?
Mm, no, not really.
I hadn't really heard of it before doing research for this either, but it's crazy. So, mass psychogenic illness is basically, somebody, one person, just like Frau Trofia. she basically, in this theory, started all of this mass illness. But somebody can start it by seeing or hearing or, even some cases smelling something, and it sort of just spreads.
Interesting.
So, one person starts it, and then others start to believe it too, and it affects their body, giving them the same symptoms. So she went out there, started dancing, and she's like, guys, I can't stop. This is taking over me. And then other people started joining too, because they're like, oh, she can't stop dancing. It's like they're not physically, yeah. They're not thinking this in their head, but their mind gets the thought in there. Mm-hmm. And
subconsciously
thinks, oh, this could, is contagious, and yeah. I'm getting it too.
Mm-hmm.
So they all start dancing as well. And it also has to do with mirror neurons in your head. So mm-hmm. neurons in the brain activate in someone else's to mirror somebody's actions.
Yeah.
So basically, if you see somebody touch their nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wanna touch or even their nose. Talk about it. That will make you, your neurons in your nose activate.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys scratching your noses right now?
Exactly. probably. Even subconsciously, imitating other people, this happens all the time.
100%.
I've noticed this a lot where, the people you spend a lot of time with, you start to do the same actions.
Yeah. Talk like them, same words.
Or just if you're both standing there, somebody crosses their arms and other people cross their arms too. Or sit a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like mirror neurons. They're it just happens daily. But in this case, it just happened severely. Yeah. To a crazy extent. And that's where the mass psychogenic illness comes in.
Yeah.
Because one person had it, and then everybody else used their mirror neurons to get it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this crazy to think about.
It is.
So it's mainly with visual and audio stimulation. And mirror neurons actually help with empathy, too. So just a little fact. Which makes sense,
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing something, too, you can sort of see it from their perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Frau Trofia, she was really affected by something, and then others began to see it and do it, and they were, psychologically affected.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we don't know why it started originally. And, yeah, like yeah. why she did it, but there that is like I feel like this is why totally. It happened that
I think
they,
so too.
Yeah, like psychogenic illness. They all sort of latched on. But it's just crazy that this can happen.
We would probably do it.
You because, think you know, so? You think we would walk by and be like, ourselves oh my God.
That we're sick all the time. So I'm like,
you're right. I was reading some of this and I was like, I do this to myself yeah. because somebody yeah. at work was sick this week and I convinced myself I was sick too. But then Taylor talked me out of it. So
update, guys. She's not sick. I mean, if you're sick, you've been hiding it real well yeah, every day.
I really thought I was, though. So it's like your mind can really play tricks on you and make you feel things that you don't really feel.
And, like, you have to think, like, especially back in the 1500s, they did not have, like, neurodivergent people who could be more easily impacted. Or, like, they wasn't known anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these people probably were just a little neurodivergent, and they were like, yep.
Maybe.
Perfect time, perfect place for a crazy dancing storm to happen. I wish I could see it, though. I want to see the way they were dancing.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't want to see them, like, tortured. I want to see them on, like, day two. Like, they're okay, but they're not, like, okay.
Yeah.
I feel, that's crazy as people, like, died, though.
I know.
Like, cause of death, dancing.
Yeah. It's just craziness.
But, insane.
But, yeah. I mean, it's still a mystery because we don't know how it started, really.
I know.
But...
that actually bothers me. Like, they always do. Mm-hmm. But, Frau, mm-hmm. can you please tell us?
Well, I think Frau means, like, miss.
Oh, well, miss.
So she's like Frau Trophia.
What's her name? Trophia?
Yeah.
All right, Miss Trophia, we need the answer. So, I guess it was the 1500s. We might have to contact her through Ouija or Spirit Box. Yeah. But yeah. I don't think we can have a convo with her, unfortunately. Well, that's so crazy that you are talking about a woman who caused so much chaos.
Mm-hmm.
When my story is actually the complete and utter opposite.
Oh, okay.
This is what you do when you've just found that statement handbag on eBay and you want to build an entire wardrobe around it. You start selling to keep buying. Yep, on eBay. Over that all black everything phase, list it and buy all the color. Feeling more vintage than ever? It's out with the new and in with the pre-loved. Next thing you know, you've refreshed your wardrobe basically without spending a dime. Yeah, eBay. The place to buy and sell new, pre-loved, vintage, and rare fashion.
Cool shoes. My brother would love those. Ooh, I don't share my sources. Ah, well, I just found them using Circle to search with Google on my new Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 6.
What?
And I texted them to my brother on the other side of this massive screen.
Where did you get that phone?
Lucky for you, I don't gatekeep my sources. Tell them.
Get your own Galaxy Z Fold 6 now at Samsung.com. Requires internet connection. Results may vary by uniqueness, clarity, and framing of circled image and related factors.
Hi, and welcome to IKEA. How can I help?
Oh, my schedule is crazy. I just want some me time.
Maybe it's time to embrace the joy of staying in. With comfortable beds, pillow and decor, mood lighting, and so much more, you can turn your bedroom into the place to be.
Oh, sounds like a dream.
We've got you. Visit us in-store or at ikea-usa.com/sleep to create your dream bedroom today.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Vital Farms is keeping it bullshit-free. Pasture-raised eggs means their hens enjoy outdoor access year-round while foraging on a buffet of local grasses. You can even find the farm name of where the eggs were laid on the side of each carton. Vital Farms knows you'll taste the difference of eggs made with fresh air and sunshine. Look for the black carton at the grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com.
Prime Big Deal Days is coming October 8th and 9th with exclusive savings just for Prime members.
Woohoo!
Involuntary deal squeals can happen, like the deal on new running shoes squeal.
Woo-hoo!
The deal on a new blender squeal.
Yeah!
Or the infamous deal on a new massager squeal.
Yeah!
Save big on electronics, fashion, and more this Prime Big Deal Days, October 8th and 9th.
Of that. So I have the legend of the unsinkable Molly Brown. Dun, dun, dun. So today's story is one of a true girl boss, the biggest of them all, I would argue. And I cannot wait to tell you her story. Have you heard of her before?
No.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't either, actually. But I was watching the Olympics the other day, and one of the announcers referred to one of the swimmers as the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I asked my dad, I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, you don't know what that means. What are you talking about? Oh. Like, you don't know who that is? And I was like, no, why would I be asking?
Yeah.
So yeah, then I looked it up and now we have a story. So okay. Let's just jump right on in. Margaret Molly Brown is known throughout the world for her survival of the RMS Titanic sinking.
Oh my gosh, wait.
Yeah.
Titanic.
The Titanic. Yes, the okay. one. Mm-hmm. That. So we, fun fact, have talked about the Titanic. I swear I wrote the episode down, but I guess I didn't. I think it's episode 32, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, we covered some, I covered some, like,
some other conspiracy theories.
Yeah, about theories about the Atlantic.
The Titanic is often, it's questioned whether Titanic was actually the Titanic or if it was another boat.
Yeah.
So go to that episode. That's what Savannah talked about in that episode. But in this one, we still are talking about the same Titanic ship, but this time it's about only one person who was on it. So, we'll get into what happens, but I will just say, girl, boss.
Oh, okay.
But boss in general. So, yeah. But prior to the Titanic situation, Margaret, she went by Margaret, but people just called her Molly. I don't know which one she really prefers.
But so I guess she went by both?
I think she goes by both, yeah. So we're just going to go with Molly.
Sure.
Yeah. For this one. But anyway, before the Titanic situation happened, she also served as a philanthropist, a suffragette, which is like people fighting for the women's suffrage movement.
We love that.
Yeah. And then other things that I'll tell you about later. So this woman was like really like just a natural born leader, helper, lifesaver, quite literally.
Okay.
So yeah, but let's take it back to a little bit earlier in her life, specifically the day she was born. July 18th, 1867. Mm-hmm. Long time ago. She was born in Missouri. And so, fun fact, her first house in Missouri is today the Molly Brown Museum.
Oh.
So, if we ever in Missouri, we might have to go check out this museum.
Definitely.
Yeah, obviously. And it has, like, you know, some of her things. I mean, it's her childhood home. So, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's really cool. But at the age of 18, Molly relocated to Colorado with all of her siblings, just because they thought they could, you know, find better jobs in Colorado.
Yeah.
And there was just more to do there than in Missouri. And Molly found work sewing carpets and curtains at a dry goods store.
Okay. So,
a vibe, I suppose. And it was in Colorado where she met and married James Joseph Brown. Whatever the song is. That's what it sounds like.
Jacob.
Whatever. Yeah, I was like trying to make it James Joseph Brown. But anyway, yeah. So that's what actually made her Molly Brown. I forgot to write down her original name. Sorry, Molly, Margaret, whatever.
That's okay.
But James Joseph Brown, he actually went by JJ.
So, okay.
A vibe. Because that makes me think of JJ from the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Whom I love. Anyway.
Now you're making me think of that. Like, when is that going to be back on?
Oh, like in the fall.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, back to
it. Okay, anyway. Okay, so here's the problem, though. So she fell in love with JJ, right? Mm-hmm. But he was not rich.
Oh.
And the problem is that, like, you know, like, that's so funny. But the problem is Molly's dad, the reason that only her and her siblings moved out there is that her dad was ill. And her mom was taking care of him, and he could not move out there. Yeah. And so she wanted to marry a man who was rich so that he could take care of her dad.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe move him out there. Or at least help him live a comfortable rest of his life, right?
Right.
So when she fell in love with JJ and he wasn't rich, she was like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I marry this man? Like, I do love him and he loves me, but, like, he's poor, which is so real. Like, Molly girl, I get you. But I have a quote. Okay. Obviously, I said she married him. So she did, in fact, marry him.
Yeah.
But she said, I wanted a rich man. But I love Jim Brown. I don't know why I'm reading it like that.
Okay. I mean, honestly, I feel like that's how she would say it.
Probably. I don't know. That's Missouri? I don't know the accent. Mm-hmm. I thought about how I wanted comfort for my father and was determined to stay single until a man presented himself who could give my dad the things he needed, period. Mm-hmm. I added the period. Okay. But Jim, this at this point in time, she was still calling him Jim before it was JJ.
Right, right.
But Jim was as poor as we were and really had stood no better a chance. I struggled hard to decide, but finally decided that I would be better off with a poor man who I loved and who loved me than with a wealthy one who I was only attracted to the money. So I married Jim Brown. And I'm like, oh, that's honestly so adorable.
Yeah, like I get it.
Like,
I get
that's it. So cute. Exactly. And they had two children, Lawrence, who went by Larry, shout out Larry, and Catherine. But they also raised three of their nieces, Grace, Florence, and Helen. So they actually were like a family of seven. So, yeah.
Wow.
But you know what? I have the best news.
Oh, okay.
Because in 1893, JJ's mining engineering efforts at his job skyrocketed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they got loaded.
Oh, quick. So she really manifested that. She was like,
sure did.
She was like, I wanted a rich man, and I got one.
Period. And he loves me, and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very proud of Molly for marrying the love of her life and not for money. And then she has her love and her money. That's goals, for real.
Yeah.
Like, actually, seriously.
Literally, yeah, goals.
For real. Literally 1 year later, after they start making money and getting rich, it's 1894, they buy a mansion.
Oh, okay.
Which that would also be me.
Still in Colorado?
Yes, it was in Denver, Colorado. Okay. And at the time, it was $30,000. Today, $1.1
million.
So in a year, they had made at least $1.1 million in this coal mine industry in Colorado. So that's big baller energy right there.
I need to start an industry like that. Like, we need to start mining? Something. Okay, I feel like mining, like, that's
mining's
definitely
bad, in
the...
Actually,
it's like. Bad, and it's also, like, that's in the past.
Okay.
You know, we're past...
Solar that. Power? What are we talking?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we need to find what the new thing is going to be.
Okay.
We need to figure it out. We'll
discuss that later. Yeah, we'll solve the world's problems later.
Yeah.
Okay. So the mansion, the $1 million mansion. They start living there, and become more friendly with all the people in the community. They become members of multiple different groups within the community. One of them being the Denver Women's Club, where Molly fought obviously for women's right to vote.
Okay.
Love that for her.
Mm-hmm.
She also worked with judges and in the legal system to help poor or orphaned children be, like, rehomed. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough great things about this woman and what she did for so many people. But back to the main story and the real legend that we have here. So we're moving forward a little bit in time. It's 1912. Molly and JJ's kids, they're grown now, essentially. Yeah. And so Molly actually flew to, or not flew, not flew, honey, no, boated. Okay. I'm saying that because, like, I just flew. Anyway, she boated to Paris to visit her daughter, okay, who was living in Paris. It was Helen.
Okay.
And so she had spent, she was spending a couple months with Helen in Paris, which also, yeah, that would be me as a mom if I my mean, daughter yeah, lived also, in Paris.
If it, honestly, it would be me back then at all, because it's just like, it takes so long to travel there. For sure. You might as well be staying for a long
you
time.
You have to stay, right. Yeah. You absolutely do. And she would have stayed longer, but she received a letter from Denver, Colorado, saying that her oldest grandchild, Lawrence, Larry Jr., mm-hmm, was ill. So immediately she booked passage on the first available ship leaving for New York, because yeah, obviously she had to get home.
Yeah,
for little baby Larry Jr. So that ship that just so happened to be the next available one leaving out was the Titanic. Now, can you imagine? You're just casually booking a Titanic ticket. Because you have to think about everybody else who was on the Titanic. They spent, like, all of their life savings to go on the Titanic. And this woman was like, get me a ticket right now.
And they're probably, like, they're either, their life savings, or they're, like, doing it because it's, like, this super,
it's this huge, the biggest,
like, crazy, I don't even know what the...
It was the biggest cruise ship of the time.
Yeah. So they wanted to do it because of that. And then because it was, like, the Titanic.
I just need
versus
to get home.
Versus she was like, yeah, she wants to get home.
I need to get home, and I need to get home quickly. Spoiler. I don't know.
Yeah, a spoiler. Yeah.
So originally, her daughter Helen was going to join her on the Titanic.
Oh, God.
Like, on
good
the trip.
Thing she didn't. Oh, my God.
Right, for real. But she realized she had forgotten, literally, that she already planned a trip with her friends. So her mom was like, I mean, no, it's okay. I'll be good by myself. Like, you go ahead. You go with your friends.
I wonder, she probably feels so guilty for not going with
probably,
her mom.
But, you know. Probably. But honestly, she also probably happy she didn't go.
Yeah.
I would be. So, yeah, Molly was like, yeah, totally, Helen, please go with your friends. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, on April 10th, Molly boarded the Titanic as a first-class passenger. Set sail for New York City. It was early April 15th, which was 5 days later, 1912, around 2:20 a.m. was when the Titanic fully sank. Due to hitting a large iceberg, in case you're Patrick Starr and you didn't know. but it actually hit the iceberg around 11:40 p.m., so it took about 3 hours to sink. Okay. So, before she even gets off the boat and into a lifeboat herself, Molly is running around the ship helping people, like, get to boats.
She would.
Helping, like, people were seriously injured, like, she was putting them on the boats. Then she gets in a lifeboat herself, like, by herself, with an oar only by herself. And instead of swimming out, like, getting farther away from the ship just in case it blows up or anything could happen, you know. She goes back. She rows herself back to the boat and is collecting people out of the water and off the boat. Into the other lifeboats that are not going back and forth. So she is literally making rounds, saving people. Hundreds of rounds.
Oh my God.
To the point where then she's like, okay, any boats, like, that have room for people, row with me and let's go pick up some more people.
Yeah.
And all of them are like, no, we're safe. Like,
I mean, if we're being real, like, if I was panicking, Savannah. I might just do that.
Savannah.
No, like.
But she's like, guys, I've done it, like, 50 times. Like, I've been back and forth. Yeah, like, it's fun. Because their reasoning, basically, was they said that they didn't want to be drug under with, like, sink with the Titanic. Because I guess when a ship sinks, it could create this whirlpool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, guys, but you don't understand. Like, I've been doing this.
Like, I get it, but it's also giving the same vibe as somebody going it back inside of a burning building to save people. Like, would you do that? I don't think I, like.
I mean, I don't know.
It's,
I mean, if somebody was telling me, it's definitely still dangerous, for sure. That's no question. And I understand wanting to keep people safe.
So, like, but she's definitely a hero for doing all that. Because, like, that's why I'm saying I would do it. Because I'm like, she did it.
Yeah.
She's better than me.
Glad it wasn't me, honey. Yeah, no. You're right, though. You're right. But she was so mad at them that she threatened to literally throw the captain overboard and make him freeze. She was like, you don't understand. Okay,
wait. So this was the captain?
Like, she was arguing with the captain.
Okay, he should be going back.
Like, guys. Yeah. Right. So you hit the iceberg. I thought you meant
just, like, other passengers. And it's like, okay, I'm just a passenger.
No, no. I'm talking about crew members of the ship. Yeah. And then the captain, eventually. All
right. See, they should
be And I'm going. Like, yeah, right. So, first they of all, be. Y'all hit the iceberg. Mm-hmm. You need to risk your life and go help save as many people as you can. Because so many people died, you know?
Yep.
But they never helped. It was just her. But she kept going as long as she could until, and the thing is, she was actually really getting ready to throw him overboard. Like, they were actually about to get into a fist fight.
Oh, wow.
When just in time, a ship called the Carpathia came to the rescue.
Okay.
And so, I guess they were able to, you know, get anybody in the lifeboats at least were saved.
Yeah.
Many people lost their lives, unfortunately, still. But she saved as many as she could, truly. Right. So, immediately after they were rescued and put on to the Carpathia ship, Molly Brown organized a committee with the other first-class survivors. So, essentially, the first-class survivors, their rooms were located more up at the top of the ship.
Yeah.
So they had more time to get out. So they were less injured. You know, they had nicer rooms. So they were less injured, more healthy, and they were just, like, better suited to help the people who were in the second and third class and in the lower ship who got flooded and, you know, just hurt more. Very many, many injured people. So Molly and her fellow rich crew were just gathering things and helping aid as best they could, you know, getting blankets for people who needed water, getting food and water for people. There were just a lot of needs, and Molly was making them all happen.
Yeah.
On this ship. So just the true total boss, final boss, is Molly.
She is.
Like, right. And all of the papers, obviously, they hear, she's like, no, like, please, guys, no big deal. But the papers and any media of the time took this story and ran, and they actually are the ones who named her the unsinkable Molly Brown. Because that's, even though the Titanic sank, honey, you can't sink Molly Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's crazy just thinking about, like, the amount of people who would have died if it wasn't for her.
Like, how many lives has this woman saved? She has saved,
and now, thinking about it, like, decades at, like, generations have to thank her.
Literally. So many people have her to thank for their lives today, genuinely. And when she finally made it home, as you can imagine, it was a media frenzy. Everybody wanted to talk to the unsinkable Molly Brown. But she wasn't interested in that. She wasn't interested in the fame. She just wanted to help more people. And now, like, that had happened, I think it kind of set a fire in her where she wanted to help as many people as she could, like, in her life. Yeah, she was like, this is what I'm here to do, is to help people, clearly.
You know what? Maybe I take back what I said. I'm, like, getting some motivation from her.
Right.
You know, she's really giving me
good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So, yeah. And so now it's 1914. Okay, so this is 6 years before the 19th Amendment was passed, granting women the right to vote. Molly Brown actually ran for Colorado's Senate seat.
Oh, wow. Before she can even vote for herself.
Yes.
So she can't even vote for herself. Because she was trying
to make it legal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she did not win. But after that did not work out for her, she started following disasters and then helping with the aftermath and the cleanup.
Yeah.
So later on in the year, in 1914, there was what's called the Ludlow Massacre, which is this mass killing by these people who were against the coal fields in Colorado, which obviously that is very close to Molly Brown because that's how she got her money.
Yeah.
Was the coal industry in Colorado. Sadly, over 25 people were killed, but without her help, that number would have been bigger. Because she was able to essentially not stop them from massacring, but helping everybody who was injured be able to survive.
Right.
Like, basically triaging the massacre. So she was literally there when that happened.
She really is unsinkable.
No, like, truly. Truly unsinkable. And so after this, she follows other bad things. Next up on the roster, World War One. She joins the Red Cross.
Of course she would.
Right. And she goes and she helps American and French soldiers. And, okay, so this is so cool. What her job was in the Red Cross is basically she organized ambulance drivers, nurses, and food distributors for people in World War One. And the best part of all is that she made sure that everybody who... like, she was assigning these jobs to, were women. No men. So we're talking, like, all women ambulance drivers, all women nurses, all women food distributors. Right. Like,
she is feminine, such an icon.
Feminist icon for real.
Okay, how have I not heard of her?
That's like, what I'm saying.
She is such an icon.
Like, the biggest icon of all.
Oh my God.
I love her. Love her so much. On a sadder note, on September 5th, 1922, J.J. Brown, her husband, died.
No.
I know. It's so sad. He, getting old, yeah. I guess. I'm not actually sure how he died. But Molly Brown gave this incredible eulogy that was really sweet. And there was no way I was going to be able to read it. It was too sad. But it was so cute. But... it also was unknown to the rest of the Brown family how much money was left in the estate when he died.
God.
So prior to JJ's death, he had transferred a large amount of the money left for his children. And he also left Molly a large sum of money, but the kids didn't know like how much specifically.
Yeah.
And the kids were actually mad because she got more money.
Oh my God. Okay.
And I'm like, guys.
She's doing good with it.
And you know why they got mad? Because she started donating her money to people who needed it.
Wow.
And they were like, that's our money, Mom. Wow. And she's like, it's my money.
Wow.
And.
Ungrateful children.
So ungrateful, so selfish. This one, like, clear. Obviously, if this woman. Who is down to travel to massacre scenes, she's obviously going to donate to people in need when she receives a large amount of money.
And she, so their kids still got some, right?
Yes, and a large amount. It doesn't say how much, but it said a large amount.
Why does that always seem to happen with, like, rich families? Like, you see it in, like, movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Where the kids are just not happy about it. And it's like, your dad just died, first of all.
Right. Like, literally shut up. Like, stop being, like, it's not about the money.
Like, honestly,
like, if you got your mom got
a bunch of money, I'd be happy. Like, I don't know.
And also, if my mom got a bunch of money and started donating to good causes, I'd be like, thank you.
Exactly.
What?
Like, these ungrateful kids.
So ungrateful and so selfish when their mom is literally the complete opposite. And it's going to get worse because they were so ungrateful that they actually took her to court.
For what? How are they going to fight
in court?
They said
they deserve more money.
But because they were his kids.
Well, it was in court for over 6 years. And I wasn't even able to see who won or if it just eventually, I guess, just got dropped. Which is what I assume happens is I couldn't find it.
Okay.
But regardless, you know, they did move on with their lives after that argument. I guess they weren't close with their mom anymore. But, you know, now it's the 1920s, and Molly decided, after all of that was over, she decided to turn her focus on her real love, which I didn't talk about before, but was the theater. She loved the theater, which I'm like, is Molly me? But, like, I'm not that strong, but I just love, like, she wants a rich husband. See, you just haven't
married your rich husband
exactly. yet. That's, it's my time is coming, guys. Yeah. Just wait. Mm-hmm. You just wait. But yeah, she loved the theater, so she, like, opened up this theater and ran it, and I'm like, we were just talking about the other day, like, I wanted to open up a theater.
Yeah.
But.
We literally were.
Yeah. So, on October 26, 1932, at the age of 65, Margaret Molly Brown died in New York City in the Barbican Hotel, and there was an autopsy because she was by herself, and it revealed that she died from a large brain tumor that she did not know about. But they were able to, you know, find out who she was. And obviously, they knew who she was. I mean, it's the unsinkable Molly Brown. Come on I understand why my dad rolled his eyes at me when I was like, who is unsinkable Molly Brown? Yeah. Like, obviously. Yeah. But she was buried next to JJ in Westbury, New York. And there was a small ceremony, but she wrote, actually, in her will, that she did not want any eulogies. She didn't want anybody talking about any of the things she did, but she wanted people to sing. So that's what they did. They, like, all her friends and family gathered and sang songs in memory of her, which is so cute,
that's
honestly.
That's so sweet.
I know. And her legacy that lives on today, I mean, truly, it's countless. I could be here for the next 3 hours telling you some of the cool things that she's, like, a part of.
Oh.
But
she's very active in her community.
She is. And still today, like, people today are using her inspiration, like, for other things. Like, for example, another thing we were just speaking on. In Disneyland Paris, there is a riverboat attraction, which I have to assume is, like, Splash Mountain at the Florida location. And the boat that you ride in is called Molly Brown's Riverboat for the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Oh, my God.
That's... I know. And I'm like, okay, she's quite literally a Disney character. Like, she's in the Disney universe.
Yeah,
like, that's big, babes. That's huge.
Wow.
That's huge. She's obviously referenced in many movies, all the TV shows. In 1965, two astronauts named their, like, rocket ship after they named it the SS Molly Brown. Not SS. Just Molly. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
Actually, I don't know. But they named it after her and literally went to space in her honor. To space.
Wow.
Crazy.
See, The impact, huge.
It's
crazy.
It is. And in 1985, she was inducted into the Colorado's Women's Hall of Fame. Even funner, I think funnest fact, I would argue. There's a Broadway musical about her story.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. I need to see this. I need to hear the music. I need to get all in it. Because I love Broadway musicals. So, yeah, I could go on and on. But all there really is to say is that she's, like, the most selfless person I've ever heard of. And the legend. She's not a legend. She is the legend. So
she is, honestly. Yeah.
True. So literally nothing can ever get Molly Brown down. You feel me?
Yeah. Period. Oh my God.
Literally, period. So that's the legend of the unsinkable Molly Brown.
I love her.
I'm saying, why is she the best? Have we never heard of her? Like, we need to reamp the story. Like, guys, tell your friends about the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah.
Because, what? Crazy.
Oh my God.
It's unbelievable, honestly. Because true. I mean, like, if you think of, like, the Titanic movie, even.
Yeah.
Like, they were arguing over the door.
Right.
Like, Molly Brown was back there.
She should have been, like, in the background, like, with her.
And she might be. And they might even make reference. I haven't watched Titanic in so long.
Yeah.
But, you just see her in the background rowing and, like, there goes Jack down.
Yeah.
She missed him. Oh. It's okay. She was worried about the women and the children anyway.
Yeah. Well.
So. But, yeah.
Hmm.
Love that. Love her. Wow. She really got the job done. That's what I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had two great stories today.
Yeah, we really did. That was crazy. Those were both.
This is really awesome.
Wild.
Wow.
Wild, wild. Even though, what's her name? She done did the dancing curse.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that's crazy. Why were phones not a thing?
What, you want to see a video?
Yes, I want to see a video. So bad. Mm-hmm. Like, so bad. Like, yeah. I really do.
Stress will do crazy things to you.
That's so true.
That's probably has something to do with it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, definitely go look at our Instagram for pictures this mm-hmm. week.
Well, I don't we'll have pictures of the dancers, but, you know.
Yeah, we'll yeah, them. Obviously, yes. We were, but there are pictures of Molly Brown.
Yes.
So, you can see Molly Brown. Maybe me and Savannah can dance, and that's what we'll put up. We'll do the, I can teach you the apple dance.
Oh, yeah, we should try it.
Okay, well, also go look at our TikTok and our YouTube, and, mm-hmm. yeah, all the things. You know, all the things. But, I guess I don't really have anything else for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
Nope.
Okay, well then I guess we will see you guys next week.
All right, cue the music.